been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It is Monday, March the 14th. Welcome to a new week in the market. And we're going to open up here on a mixed note in the market. I would say the two overriding themes so far are falling oil prices today, down about 6.5%. And rising interest rates, big jump today in interest rates, clear up to 2.08 so far today on very high expectations for a rate hike at the Fed meeting to be announced this Wednesday around 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management, Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst here with us again today.
And good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Barry. We'll talk a little bit here in a bit about what to look for this week, but let me go through the numbers. You got the Dow up 186 right now. Oh, a little hope for maybe a truce in Ukraine, Russia. I don't know. Doesn't look like those talks are going too well. You do have a falling oil prices, and that's helping some areas of the market. But the big beneficiary today of the higher interest rates, big jump in the 10-year, the banks and the insurance stocks. NASDAQ's down 6. Now it's even, 12,845. It starts off the week with a very bad chart on the NASDAQ, the tech stocks. And, of course, rising interest rates, not a good deal there for the NASDAQ. Crude oil down 742 right now, 101.91 after hitting 130 about 8 days ago. Gold is down 31 today to 1958. And the 10-year, there's the big news today, 2.09. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management, chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. Barry, the Fed begins their meeting Tuesday. We're expecting an announcement on Wednesday around 2:30 along with the Fed statement. Do you think there's any chance of a half a point interest rate hike this week?
I mean, you know, you never know when you're trying to, you know, when you're trying to determine what the Fed is going to do. You know, my guess is that they've kind of signaled a quarter point, right? So, you know, to surprise the market would seem a little bit, heavy-handed, I guess. I think they've done a good job, at least, of telling us or kind of choreographing what they're going to do, and so. To do a half point would seem a bit of a shock, certainly given some of the, other things going on in the world, especially some potentially, from a GDP standpoint. We've seen some of the GDP, estimates come down, you know, not just in the U.S., but globally. So we'll see. My guess is a quarter point, but, the market has certainly the lid's kind of come off the 10-year. In terms of the market, where that fear trade has kind of seems to be like it's dissipated, and we're getting, like you said, we're getting up in 2.09%, so a bit above 2.
Yep, that's a big hike. And yeah, I expect a quarter of a point, and then I think they'll be really watching that next CPI report in April to see if it's cooling off at all. And there's your threat of, them moving faster with bigger hikes, and it all depends upon the direction that inflation takes at this point in time. Now, right now, you've got a lot of global news, global conflict. You've got COVID coming back in China, and I saw Apple stock actually below its 200-day moving average here this morning. I can't remember the last time that happened. Their Foxconn over in China is shut down, And all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, COVID is rearing its ugly head again in China. You had a missile attack near the U.S. consulate in Iraq over the weekend. That was by Iran. Of course, the war in Ukraine rages on. There was some hope this morning. I think you saw futures up about 300 or 400 points this morning that maybe, you know, Ukraine would give in to Russia's demands, but that didn't sound like those talks were going anywhere to me. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you've got this big jump in interest rates. It almost seems like maybe they're afraid a little bit of the Fed not being so kind, at least with their statement. I'm sure they'll say something about, you know, we may have to go faster just in case we can't get inflation under control. And I think the reason you're seeing the big drop in oil is somebody's going to kick in eventually to replace the Russian oil. Sounds to me like the U.S. is moving heavily in the direction of getting oil from Iran. You know, those talks have stalled, with the nuclear talks, the nuclear so-called deal. But I think they could go, you know, around that and go directly to Iran for oil. That's the way it's looking to me. That would bring more supply on the market, and that would drive oil down somewhat. I saw these statistics here. A year ago, the average price for a gallon of gas across the U.S. was $2.86.
Oh, wow.
We drove, my wife and I drove to the Columbia, the capital of South Carolina, over the weekend. And, you know, $4.99 was pretty much diesel. And right around $4, a little over $4 was our price. $4.32 is the average this year, 52 weeks later. That's an increase of 51%. You know, Bear, I was thinking as you drive along the highways, especially here in South Carolina and in the southeast, you know, mostly it's all you see is trees on each side of the highway. So the gas signs are really tall and big and bright. That's not good advertising for this November's campaign. People are looking at those. Those are billboards, man. Those are billboards flashing and reminding people of how much gasoline is. And, you know, that's, you know, when people go to the voting booths, that's going to weigh unless gas comes down. Now we're down $8.50 on gas. We're threatening to go back under $100. And there's got to be some talk there. I know, I think France or Germany or one of them is also in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia will not even talk to the U.S., so there's another delegation down there trying to get more oil out of Saudi Arabia. This COVID thing, you know, boy, the Hong Kong market was down almost 4%. Overnight.
Yeah, Shanghai was down 2.5. I think they halted. Now, I think I saw a note where they halted trading for a bit. So I think it was one of the most volatile sessions for China. I think I saw since about 2008, which is pretty remarkable. So yeah, lots of things going over there. I think I saw something where JD.com may end up with a record or Tencent may end up with a record fine.
Yeah.
So, for some kind of anti money laundering, violation. So it's, certainly a lot of volatility over there for sure.
Well, the chart of the day is Yang, YANG, which is the ETF that is 3 times short China. Man, that thing has just absolutely exploded. And you're also seeing a big day for the interest rate inverse ETFs. SJB is the inverse of the junk bonds. It's breaking out to a new high today. And TBT is the inverse, double inverse of the U.S. Treasuries. That's one of the charts of the day there. It's breaking out. It's up 3.8%. We own that in our bond fund. So that we own both of those in our bond fund as hedges. So that should be a good deal. And it's a little disconcerting here to see the vaccine stocks as some of the best performers today, both Moderna and BioNTech. Are big movers today, and I'd have to call the chart of the day so far would be a shipping stock, Matson Inc. Matson is AMATX, which provides ocean transport services between Hawaii, Guam, China, Micronesia, South Pacific, and California. Okay, as we were talking on Friday, the consensus target price for the S&P 500 was 5,300. I've been saying for the last several weeks that is way too high. And guess who joined in that chorus today? They lowered their target price for the S&P 500 considerably. Well, we beat them by about 2 weeks. We'll be right back. Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. The ugly chart of the day, the bond funds. Oof. Look at AGG, which is kind of an aggregate bond fund ETF. AGG, we've been warning about the bond funds. Get out of the way quite for a long time. Man, that is a giant drop in that ETF today, and interest rates now up 10 basis points, 2.10. Yeah, it's one of the charts I show every week in the newsletter is the interest rates of the 10-year, which is kind of a benchmark that we all watch. And I've been saying for several weeks, this is a bullish chart. Interest rates are going higher. That's one of the few things we can sink our teeth into, Barry, this year. One of the knowns, I guess, unless, you know, the geopolitical situation. You saw interest rates go clear down to 1.78 during some of the darkest days of this Ukraine invasion. But now we're at 2.10. That's like 32 basis points just in the last 10 days or so. That's a big move in interest rates. And, of course, you're seeing a reaction in the banks today. They're having a favorable day. And the insurance stocks. But the bond funds are just – and we've been warning, Barry, about those bond funds, how they stand in the way of a rising interest rate environment.
Well, and it's kind of – it was kind of like you put a lid on top, you know, the whole Ukraine-Russia situation is like, you know, kind of like putting a lid on a boiling pot, right, eventually.
Yep.
That, you know, we know it's going to happen eventually, right? We have to have higher rates, and we're starting to see that. And these moves have been pretty swift in both directions. So,
and let's not forget, you know, the other, besides your bond funds, your high PE stocks. I'm seeing like ARK Funds go south again today. She's now down 65% from her high. And that's just one of the most vulnerable areas out there of rising interest rate environment, because it reins in the multiples, the PE ratios. And so the most vulnerable would be the higher PE stocks. Okay, we know who the counterparty is on the nickel short, the big nickel short. It's more than a nickel. It's a lot of nickels. It's $7.9 billion. J.P. Morgan is on the other end of that trade. They're kind of holding the biggest bag there, so they're hoping that it all works out. They're going to let whoever it is, that short nickel, hang on to that short position. Without margin calls, well, they're working it out. Okay, they're working it out. But boy, that talk about getting caught short—that's not pretty at all. On that,
yeah, somebody's not sleeping well over at
J.P. Morgan. Man, a lot of counterparties. Okay, the weekly ETF movers last week: short China, China's just falling apart, their stock market. Now they've got COVID kicking back in again. They first, it all began with them attacking their own companies, going after Jack Ma. And then you had the threat of delisting a lot of these stocks. That's just a horrible place to be. Someone asked me on my subscription service, would you be buying Chinese stocks here? I said, yes, I'd be buying Yang and I'd be buying FXP. Those are both inverse ETFs on the Chinese stock market. Okay, I got to get your comments on this. University of Michigan consumer sentiment, 59 points. It's going down as fast as oil prices and gas prices are going up. What do you think of 59.7?
Well, and that just tells you that it's showing that, you know, the consumer, which, by the way, the American consumer has kind of been really kind of pulled out the world, during COVID, right? Yeah. And so we can almost always count, right, on the American consumer, but it just goes to show you that, high gas prices, that's cutting into people's spending, it's one of the topics of conversation that I hear a lot. I was traveling this past weekend, and I hear people at the actual pump, right?
Oh yeah,
talking to themselves or under their breath or whatever, And I mean, it hits you fast, and from a voting, you hit it on nail in the head from a voting perspective, right? It's one of those. It's one of those very visible, a voter doesn't have to put two and two together too much, right, to vote your pocketbook on something of that nature. And,
no.
And as we talked about, the Fed really doesn't have much control over that,
no.
that piece of it, so.
No, not at all. Well, okay, and there we're also, it's starting to show up in Etsy, Overstock, ThredUp, Mercado Libre, Wayfair, all of those stocks are just getting clobbered here recently. And, the consumer not as healthy as one might think. And now you've got interest rates going up and you've got, oil going up. And that leads me to the next story. Goldman Sachs, I respect them highly on their macro calls. David Kostin, he cuts the S&P target to 4,700. Now, remember, the consensus target price out there amongst these big analysts was 5,300 going into the weekend. And I think the consensus is still around 5,300. He's just one player. Goldman Sachs is one player in this. They take an average of about 25 probably different firms out there. But I've said several weeks ago, I started taking my target price down quite a bit. And I said, listen, it's just a matter of time before these Wall Street firms start lowering their target price. They're way too high at 5,300. If you try to make that math work, you've got to have like $260 in S&P 500 earnings next year and a multiple of 21, and that's just not going to happen, either one of those. Then we're already starting to see earnings estimates for next year come down. This is the first time in 12 years, other than the COVID year, that I'm seeing analysts ratchet down their earnings estimates. That is not a good sign at all. Goldman Sachs had their target price at $4,900, but remember the average out there right now, the consensus is $5,300. Well, we were 2 weeks ahead of Goldman Sachs on the downside. And like I say, that's one of the biggest indicators for the market. The future of the market is which way earnings estimates are going. And for the first time in 13 years, other than the COVID year, those earnings estimates are going the wrong way. All right, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about, we got a lot. There's a lot, especially this big bond sell-off today and interest rates just flying higher. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. I think we need to talk a little bit here about oil and what's going on there today. I've looked at all the news, Barry, and I've kind of come to the conclusion that it's the re-emergence of COVID maybe in China. I mean, when did oil prices, when did they go negative? They went negative during COVID, right?
It was that. I think it was that. If I remember correctly, I think it was that May 2020 contract. It was right around May or February. May. I think it was deliveries in May of 2020. Yeah, I mean, it was the whole. Essentially, people would pay you to hold the to take the barrel.
And who was the first company out of China that really kind of said what was happening on the ground and was suffering and their plants were closing down? It was Apple. And, you know, we're reading here today that Foxconn, which makes Apple iPhones in China, they shutter their factories amid the Shenzhen lockdown. So I'm just thinking that that's the big reason why oil is selling off today, because I'm not really seeing anything on the supply side of supply increasing. It's definitely much more about maybe demand going down. So I'm just going to pin it on that right now. But you still, I don't know, if it really rages in China, I suppose, you know, that could bring oil prices down quite a bit. But to me, there's a war on oil. No question about it. I talked to a guy yesterday. He's here from Norway. And he was talking about, you know what, Norway has plenty of oil for all of Europe, but they don't want it. They're not going to use it. They're going to go other directions. And it just seems to me that the fundamentals on oil continue to be very bullish, and I'm not the only one that thinks that. I see Warren Buffett is adding more of Occidental Petroleum, and I see over the weekend that Barron's top pick was Equinor, which I talked to my friend from Norway yesterday about. Equinor's $100 billion oil company out of Norway. And you got Barron's saying in its latest issue over the weekend that it's one their top stock to play the European gas shortage. So, yeah, especially the natural gas, when you consider how much reliance they have on natural gas over there in Europe and on Putin, it just seems like you've still got a really bullish situation for oil. That's my take on it, despite today's big sell-off in oil. In addition to that, you're seeing some M&A in that space. We saw a combination of a couple of companies last week getting together on these high prices. That gives them a lot of different options when the oil goes up like that. Of course, Warren Buffett buys $1.5 billion more of Occidental stock after a $3 billion purchase. So he obviously continues to be bullish. Now, the one that's going the other way, J.P. Morgan cuts Chevron to a sell. And I think that may also have something to do with the oil stocks, which are having a pretty heavy round of profit-taking here today. That probably has something to do with it, too. But that's a very controversial sell call that J.P. Morgan is making, as most other firms out there are bullish on the oil stocks.
Certainly in this environment, I mean, it certainly seems that going against the grain from that perspective. But you know, it's good to, you know, I think it's, I mean, it's a bullish sign for the oil industry to see some, you know, some positive mergers, right? Or M&A, mergers and acquisitions and investments. I mean, most of the stories that we had seen in terms of, M&A for oil companies really for the last year and a half have been, divestitures, right? So they've been, essentially divesting their assets versus, that story in terms of, you know, going the other way finally again. And that's where you had a lot of that underinvestment for a long period of time, which has kind of gotten us in the situation that we're in.
It's interesting to see a lot of these oil companies with the new ESG, which is environment, social, and governance, ESG numbers, which show up on every stock now that has, there's an ESG number. The oil yeah. companies are scrambling to improve their ESG scores, and almost every one of them is announcing a new renewables project. They're going to increase their renewables, whether it's seeds, whether it's wind, whether it's solar. And so, you know, that's another thing that's taking place right now in the oil patch. But there is definitely a war on fossil fuels right now, which I think leads to higher prices going forward. The fertilizer stocks were selling off this morning. They're still down. But, you know, every sell-off I see in them, I see buying come into them. I'm just looking at Nutrien. It's down 3% right now, but it was down about 5 or 6% earlier today. I like to watch for that when I see these sell-offs to see if there's buying that eventually comes in, because that really kind of tells you that it's a round of profit-taking. So, yeah, I'm still bullish on oil, and I'm still bullish on the fertilizer stocks, and a lot of these inverse ETFs that that we continue to own. Okay, let's see. Where do we go next? J.P. Morgan cuts Chevron to a sell while Warren Buffett is loading up on Occidental Petroleum. The Iran nuclear negotiations, they need a pause, okay? Because Russia, don't forget, Russia's on the other side of this from us, bargaining with Iran, and they want a lot of promises in this deal. So we're just kind of backing away. But Morgan Stanley says that they expect Iranian barrels of oil to hit the market by mid-2022. That's like 3 months from now. And I expect the same thing. I think that's where Biden wants to get the oil. He wants to get it from Iran and help them out with their sanctions and whatnot. In the meantime, they were firing 12 missiles over the weekend at our embassy, near our embassy, very near to our embassy in Iraq. So there you go. Take it for what it's worth. Okay, now COVID here is pretty much non-existent. 98% of the U.S. Is in areas with low or medium COVID community spread. So we're not seeing much, but Apple is reporting, of course, their fault. And that's how it all began. I mean, that's how it all began back in 2020. It was really Tim Cook saying, hey, you know, this thing is out of control. It's getting really, really bad over there in China. And then it was just a matter of weeks, you know, before it hit the U.S. So we'll monitor that. But, man, Hong Kong got clobbered over the weekend. The automobile industry continues to see price target cuts because the supply chain is horrible.
Yeah, they can't sell you a car if they can't make them.
No, that's all you can do is put in an order. Something might be fulfilled, and that's continuing to drive the price of used cars higher, and they can't get new cars because of the parts shortage. So not a good time to be owning auto companies. Rivian had a horrible report on Friday. They lowered their forecast for sales. And it's just, you know, it's a rough environment for the car and the automobile industries. And it continues to be a rough environment for the work-from-home stocks of the year 2020. DocuSign plunged 20%. On Friday, oh, man. You know, DocuSign, which we use, obviously, a lot in our industry, it got up to $314 per share. Believe it or not, it's at $74 right now. And it got pummeled again on Friday. And the other one that just continues to get pummeled is Peloton. Peloton was $171, and now it's $21. 171 down to 21. Well, there's such a thing as a sell stop or a sell discipline. Yet I've talked to people that have ridden some of these stocks all the way down and never did anything. In fact, people transfer them to us, Barry. And I got to be the one that finally pulls the trigger and sells them for these people that stubbornly held on. All right, when we come back, the stock's jumping off the page here today. This is the Best Stocks Now show, Gunderson Capital Management. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, where you got a lot of things going on in the market today. This is one of the biggest jumps in interest rates that I've seen in a long time in one day. And the fact that this isn't going from 1.7 to 1.8. This is crashing through resistance and hitting 2.10 this morning. But, you know, I don't know that I'd go running back into the banks and the insurance stocks, because you have that other elephant in the room, which is the global geopolitical crisis, which is always a flight for safety during times like that. And you still got, you know, China out there is kind of rattling their saber of helping Russia out and whatnot. So for me, I wouldn't go running back in. Yes, banks and insurance companies, under normal conditions, Barry, if it wasn't for the geo crisis out there, I might be interested in the banks and insurance stocks, which we owned before this Ukrainian conflict started. But I think, you know, at any moment that could heat up or something. You get the flight to safety, and there goes your investment in the banks and in the insurance. The other big elephant in the room today for me is the big drop in oil, and I'm thinking that has to do with the sudden spike in China, of all places. I had no idea that it was rearing its ugly head in China till I saw that the Hong Kong market was down 5%, and then we're seeing Apple today say that their Foxconn plant is closed. So there definitely is something going on there with COVID in China. And the third big thing for me today is Goldman Sachs taking down their target price on the S&P 500 to 4,700. And that's 600 points below the consensus out there. If you want to see where ours is at right now, I started taking mine down several weeks ago. You can get the newsletter from the weekend. That is the most important part of the entire newsletter, because it drives everything we do. That's the engine that drives the decisions that we make, is that macro outlook on the market. All right, so with that in mind, here's what's standing out to me today. The inverse ETF on interest rates, TBT. I just think the path of least resistance for interest rates going forward is higher, and I think the Fed will confirm that. And the big driver there is inflation. That's going to continue. I don't see inflation going away. And TBT is twice the inverse of the long treasury. So you're going short. And on long-duration bonds, we've talked before about how long-duration things, stocks and bonds, don't do well in a rising interest rate environment. And TBT is breaking out today. It's pretty much when interest rates break out, it's going to break out, right, Barry?
Yep, and that's our hedge. That's our hedge for our bond portfolio that we run for in terms of our clients owning individual bonds, and that's how we kind of, just like we protect in our equity portfolios using something like SH, TBT, and SJB are two of those things that that we use on the bond side.
Exactly, and SJB is also breaking out today. which I think the high yield, and there's the other axiom, is the high yield bonds are much more vulnerable to rising interest rates. That would be your junk bonds. If you own a high yield fund, a lot of people think, oh, that's a good thing. I want a high yield fund. I get a better yield. Well, that means they're junkier. They're either junkier or they're longer in duration, and they are more vulnerable to rising interest rates. But all bond funds are vulnerable. These just happen to be the most vulnerable. And I'm going to pick one more time on long duration stocks in a rising interest rate environment. SARC is up another 1% today. That's a new high for that thing, $57.82. It came public at 30, and that is the ETF that is on the inverse side of ARK, which continues to be vulnerable. And I know you're probably saying, you mean, Bill, that there's still downside risk? ARK is down 65% from its high of March 2021. Yes, there is still downside risk because the multiples are still way too high. If you've got Goldman Sachs, reining in not only the earnings estimates but the multiple for the S&P 500, that means that these multiples that are up over 100 and over 60 and 80 and whatnot, they still have more downside risk. So we continue to own SARC as one of our hedges. And, you know, money-making, it's been very profitable for us. Tuttle Capital Short Innovation ETF, short specifically against the ARK ETF. It's the only ETF that I know of that's ever done that. Okay, well, we're out of time. A lot taking place in the market today to kick off a new week. A lot of different messages being sent by the market. We'll see where it settles by the end of the day. And looking ahead this Wednesday, there's your elephant in the room when the Fed announces their decision on interest rates. And the consensus, probably 99% of the economists out there expect a quarter of a point rate hike on Wednesday. And I'm sure they'll say that there will be more. This will not be the only rate hike this year. If you'd like to get the newsletter, we updated our target price on the S&P 500 considerably here over the last couple of weeks. You can get the newsletter by going to GundersonCapital.com. We've been really, really busy here talking to folks that have gotten hit hard because they're still in bond funds. They're still in long-duration stock ETFs. Or stocks and stock funds. I do a lot of selling when those accounts come to us. I got to do a heavy deep clean. We call that a deep clean.
Yeah.
You know,
do some gardening.
Yes, sir.
I
break out the chainsaw and the Anyways, if you'd like to talk to us about your portfolio, your situation, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.